Dr. Hermine Hartman is with us. She is the founder of Indigo.com here in Chicago. And this week, she'll be talking about Jerry Butler because he, too, has passed. And something tells me that perhaps he was a friend of yours.
He was, Lisa, and he was such a wonderful, wonderful man with the deep, beautiful baritone voice. And the song you just played, that was his signature song from 1958. That was the first song that he wrote, and I understand he wrote it as a poem. And someone told him, don't read it as a poem, sing it as a song. And it became indeed his signature song. He was wonderful. What I remember best and most is I had, when I was doing the Indigo Gala, year 2000, right at the millennium, I had Jerry Butler and Nancy Wilson as the entertainment at the Symphony Center, and I called it True Voices. I wanted a pure jazz voice along with a pure soul voice, and that was Jerry. And it was the best concert ever. And if you were in that audience, you remember that. And one of the things that Jerry did that evening is he did a medley to Duke Ellington, for Duke Ellington, Sophisticated Lady, Take the A-Train. And it was absolutely amazing with just Jerry singing and a piano. And I insisted that he and Nancy perform a duet. And they were both against it. Oh, no, we've never done that before. We don't know each other that well, blah, blah. And I said, but your voices know each other. And I insisted that they do it. And they did a duet together. And it was just breathtaking.
Why did they call him the Iceman?
Well, he was called the Iceman because at the time Jerry came along, you got James Brown and Jackie Wilson, and they jumped and danced and moved around quite a bit on stage. And that wasn't Jerry's style. Jerry was flat-footed, microphone, and sang love songs. And so it was a disc jockey, I believe, in Pittsburgh. They said he was cool, he was cold, he was ice, and the Iceman name was attached to him, and it stuck. And even when Jerry ran, as you know, Jerry was a Cook County commissioner, and even when Jerry ran for office, his official legal name on the ballot was Jerry Iceman Butler.
I love that.
That was cute. Yeah.
I love that.
He was a great guy.
How do you feel about the passing of Roberta Flack? Because she is a person who stood up for her beliefs, really identified as an early activist.
She was, and indeed she was. She was at, years ago when we had Expo, she was one of the featured artists, and she was an activist, and she and Jerry. Jerry was, he often called his music the backdrop, the soundtrack of the civil rights music, and I would say the same for her, because they were activists, they marched, they did concerts, they donated, and I think the richness of both of them is they brought other singers, songwriters, along with them. They were teachers, too. They were mentors, too. In the case of Jerry Butler, a woman here in Chicago named Teresa Griffin, she sang in a tribute to Jerry at Park West, did not know him, and she was just trying to sing, so anywhere she could sing, she would. And she did Jerry's signature song, Precious Love. And he heard that voice, and he says, oh, my God, would you like to sing with me? And she was like, oh, my God, I can sing with you. And she became a member of his ensemble for about 25 years until he retired.
Reading about the passing of Roberta Flack today, they said that she was longtime friends with the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Angela Davis. She said, the writer said Flack visited Davis while in prison, while she was, you know, charged in murder and kidnapping, but later acquitted. And then Roberta Flack sang at the funeral of Jackie Robinson, Major League Baseball's first black player, and she was among the many guest performers on the Feminist Children's Entertainment Project created by Marlo Thomas, Free to Be You and Me. which I didn't know that was a feminist children's entertainment project. I never took it as such. But yeah, she was outspoken and stood by her beliefs. You know, I was watching the SAG afterwards. I caught pieces last night because I was catching up on a show I really liked. And I played a clip of Jane Fonda talking about documentary moments, including the civil rights marches and everything else this country has faced. And she said, we're in a documentary moment. And are you willing to cross the bridge? And that reminded me of you, because you've always been that person that has stood up and been an activist and never backed down.
That's correct. But, you know, Lisa, there was always, particularly with entertainers, the Jane Fondas, the Jerry Butlers, and the Roberta Flacks of the world, there was always, would there be consequence? Would there be loss of ticket sales? Would you not invite me on certain shows because of my rights? But that did not backfire for them. That was okay. Because they were doing the right thing. And I think Jane Fonda is absolutely correct. We are in a documentary. I mean, we will see documentaries for the period that we're living in for years and years to come. We might not get a chance to see them all, but indeed they're coming. Because it's evolution. I mean, some of this stuff that's happening before our very eyes as news, we've never seen before. And we don't. I read this morning in New York Times the 4-star general that that Trump fired, and it's like, how could you fire this man? He's outstanding. He's stellar by all accounts, and you just let him go for what reason? So I think they're going to get in a lot of trouble for firing people for without cause. I mean, some of this stuff is just, I say, Lisa, now, we didn't have an election. We had a revolution at the polls.
Yeah, I would say
we had a revolution.
And the general you're talking about, General Charles Q. Brown, as the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he was not called into an office after dedicating his entire life to this country. He literally found out while in transit. And that is the disrespect that I just can't get over. I can't get over that there are federal employees being fired saying in the letter claiming they didn't do their job when everybody got the same form letter.
And then today, or was it yesterday, Elon puts on his ex, the former Twitter, tell me 5 things you did on your job, and if you don't tell me the 5 things you did, I will assume that this is a resignation.
Right. And
I mean, suppose I don't have Twitter. I mean, come on, Lisa, we're going mad. And I don't understand Elon Musk. I appreciate his ingenuity and his genius and his innovation with the car and all that. But Lisa, he is not a government official. He's not an elected official. How does he get to do these things?
I think we all ask ourselves that every single day, especially those who have received those fork in the road letters and other letters asking them to describe what they do in order to save their job. And thank God the new director of the FBI said, don't acknowledge those letters. Just carry on. And I thought, finally, somebody telling their staff that they do not have to bow to Elon Musk.
Well, that was a good move. That was a good move, because if we look at the protocols and the hierarchies of the chain of command, Elon Musk doesn't fit in the chart. He's not in the organizational chart. So what are we doing? I hope we get a grip on this. I hope Congress challenges this in some kind of way, because it's out of control.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for allowing me to remember my friend Jerry Butler. We will miss him, a real, real Chicagoan.
Absolutely. That is Hermine Hartman, Dr. Hermine Hartman. You will find that article she has written about her friend Jerry Butler at indigo.com. That's NDIGO.com.